Romans chapter 12, let me read this from the King James, and we've been talking about the transformation of our mind and our thinking, and that transformation is, you know, when you talk about things being transformed or being changed, you know, we use natural examples sometimes. We say that, you know, how did a butterfly get where it is? It was transformed. It started as a caterpillar, and it transformed. It was in a cocoon, and at a certain point, it came out a butterfly, but it was transformed. That word in our language, sometimes they call it metamorphosis. It's this same Greek word here when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That word is metamorpho-u or metamorphosis. So that means that whatever state your mind is in at this point, it can be changed just the same way that something in the natural is changed from one state to another state. So you can see what happens when it gets cold. Water changes to what? Ice. So something is changed into another form. So this is saying here that it's saying to us, be not conformed to what? This world. So that right away tells us, we're given some instructions. Don't be like what goes on in the world. Don't think like them. You know, I was sharing with somebody yesterday, and I really feel this way. You know, Pastor Clinton was this way. I was around him for 20 plus years, sang in the choir for 20 plus years. We did a lot of recordings, and we did some things, and he felt this way strongly. He always would tell us, it's not the style of music, it's the words you sing. When you get up and you sing, think about the words that you're singing. Sometimes when we'd come to choir rehearsal, we'd spend a half an hour and 45 minutes just reciting the words, not even singing. You'd say, okay, what are the words to the song? Say them to me. Think about what it is you're saying when you sing. So let's not get stuck on the style. There's all kinds of genres of music. That's why I say, even listening to all of those singers yesterday, some were screaming just, you know, you're like, what are they doing? It's like somebody had them by the neck. They were just screaming, right? Like somebody had them by the neck. I'm serious. But you know what? I'm not hung up on the style, because that style reaches people. And it's a gateway for what? Words. It's a gateway for somebody's heart and intent to speak words. So the style of music I don't get stuck on is, what are they singing? What are they saying? That's the thing. And when you begin to receive that and meditate on it and then say, oh yeah, that's me, I identify with that, that's the problem. It's not the style of the music. You know, you've got Christian rock bands. You've got Christian metal bands. They're singing this hard metal, but they're singing words that are the gospel. So what are they doing? They're reaching people that would never come and listen to Amazing Grace. That style of music. I'm not saying we don't sing the hymns, but there are people that were growing up in that, and they'll listen to that, and that's good. That's okay. We should sing songs like that. But there are a group of people that won't come in, but they'll listen to that. So let's not get stuck on style. Let's listen to what are they saying? What are the words? Because you can have some Christian songs that are full of unbelief in the hymns. Just in the hymns, they're full of unbelief. So it's the words, it's the lyrics. And so here, it's when it says, don't be conformed to this world, it's saying, don't think like they think. Don't operate like they do. You've been changed. You've got a different kingdom that you report to. Different laws, different things, different blessings that come to us because we're his children. So, and it says here, how does this transformation come about? The transformation, it says, be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. So transformation is going to come about by the renewing of our minds. That's how transformation comes about. And this proving, when it says that you may prove. So isn't this interesting? So it's very difficult. If you're not open to the Word of God, if you're not open to having your mind changed, how do you even prove? This says here that you may prove. So it says the transformation or the renewing of your mind that you may prove. So the result of your mind being changed is that I want this. I'm going to test and prove God's word. You see. And that's really what the word prove means. It means to, it says to test the truth or test the validity or genuineness of something. So when I start getting my mind changed, I now have a heart for the things of God. I'm going to say, no, I want this. And this is where I was picking up, this scripture that came in my heart this morning. It says, in Galatians 6:7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked whatsoever. So this is not just money now. Can be your time, whatever. It says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You see? So folks are sowing things, and they're going to reap some things. And so here, listen to some of these other translations. It says, make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will reap what they plant. Here's another. Don't delude yourself. No one makes a fool of God. A person reaps what he sows. There's another. Make no mistake about this. You can never make a fool out of God. Whatever you plant is what you'll harvest. Whatever you plant is what you harvest. You know, some of us have been planting 2 and 3 plates of food, and so you reap extra weight. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Here's another. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock to the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So we will reap what we sow if we continue. And this says here, God is not going to be mocked. His word will stand. That's just the way it is. So transformation comes about by the renewing of our mind. Here, this is the other translations we were using for Romans 12:2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So we need to let God change us and transform us. And this comes about little by little. This is a lifetime. This isn't something that happens in a week or a month or a year. It's a lifetime. And I was sharing last Sunday, as some of you were here, a lot of you weren't, but I was sharing a story about this particular tribe in Africa, in Rwanda, that was called, and the reason they termed it this way, they called them the Shining Ones. And the reason they labeled it that way is because they began to shine, their very skin began to glow with the presence of God. Their skin shined, and that's why they called them the Shining Ones. And of course, you know, as they shared in the story that it would be unusual, because if you had take a person from Africa, their skin is more of a bluish black, very, very dark, and they said their skin shined, literally, with the glow of God. And it said that this transfiguration, which is what happened to Jesus. It said when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, what happened? It says Elias who else was it? Moses appeared to them. And they said, you know, and Peter, James, and John were with them. And they said, oh, let's build a tabernacle here. What else? You know, they just... So anyways, what happened? It said Jesus changed. He began to radiate like the sun. So it said this tribe began to glow. And it said this didn't happen overnight. This took a period of time. It took some time over a number of years, but they began to literally glow. And it said this transformation took place because they said they, because the presence of God with this group was so strong and upon them, that what happened was they, it's just the way it was written, they became uncomfortable with sin in their life. And nobody was making them change. It was the Spirit of God caused them to feel uncomfortable. Like I just, you know how you are, sometimes you just go, I can't do that anymore. I can't do that. So they began to repent and say, you know, sorry, Lord, I'm going to change. And they said what happened is over time, because they continued to do this, their skin began to shine. Hallelujah. And so the story was that this particular person, God led him in the 80s to meet up with one of these founders. This happened in 1936. And he met one of these founders, and he met him, and he shared the story about it. And he said that at that time, he said the normal life expectancy might have been 60 years old. They were living up well into their hundreds. Hallelujah. Because of the presence of God. Glory. And he said they looked the very, they radiated, you know, just youth. It's the life of God. And so this transformation, we're talking about the transformation of the mind, it affected, that transformation in their thinking began to affect them. Physically, it began to affect them. Well, not what Romans 8, 11 and 12, it's, what does it say? It says, in Romans chapter 8, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, you're talking about the glory of God now, raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life to your mortal body. So the glory of God, the presence of God began to affect their mortal bodies. It's Romans 8, chapter 8th chapter and verse 11. So he began to say, this person that he met, one of this founder, he said that it wasn't about the shining. He said it wasn't about the glowing and all of that. He said it was about the holiness that caused the shining. So the transformation of the mind will cause a person to begin to think or have thoughts or have the mind of God, the mind of Christ. Because when I begin to feed upon the Word of God, when I begin to think about it and meditate upon it, my thinking's changed. I can't do that anymore. I can't think like that anymore. And that's where the struggle becomes in this earth. Because we live in this sin-ridden planet. And so the world, what does it say in the Bible? It says that there's the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that are lost. So there's a God. Who is that God? Satan is that God that was thrown out of heaven and came to the earth, and of course he deceived Adam and Eve, or Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was, and they turned over what had been given to them by God. And so Satan really has the authority at this point, because it was Adam's authority that was given to them. So he has, in a sense, he has the authority and rule over this world until Jesus returns. And then he's out. So the struggle that we run into is the thoughts that come, thoughts that come to our mind, and not really knowing what God's thoughts are, because the scripture says we're to cast down thoughts and reasonings that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So thoughts that come into my mind don't have to be acted upon if they're not God's thoughts. If they're not God's heart or his word, I shouldn't be acting upon it. And, you know, think about this. You know, we were talking about this in some of these past lessons. Most of us, if you were honest, you'd say, you know, I get a thought, I act on it. All of us do. You get a thought, you act on it. You get up in the morning, you say, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to do that. You just didn't decide to go do something. It started, it originated as a what? A thought. And so that thought is really what we have to look at and see and say, should I be acting on it or not? Should I act on that thought? So when you look at a thought, you know, is what we said before, a thought can't be seen. You can't see a thought. You can't smell a thought. You can't feel a thought. You just can't see it. You can't touch it. So it's not seen. But you can see the results of a thought. It's like Jesus said in the Gospels. He said, you can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind. And so you can't see a thought, but you can see the results of a thought. People have acted on thoughts and done good. People have acted on thoughts and done bad things. People have gotten thoughts and are fearful. People have got thoughts and they won't take planes. So you can't see a thought, but you can see the results of thoughts, right? And so is it fear-based or is it something that gives you peace? So when thoughts come and you have fear, you can begin to say, is that really from God? Should I really be yielding to that thought? Is that putting me in bondage or is that setting me free? Is that giving me life? Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. So I'm saying all of these things, even in the context of how we live as adults, but also children and youth going to school, all these thoughts, the pressures that come, right? To make you conform to something, does that pressure give you peace or does it Or does it make you fearful? Does it make you upset? Does it make you agitated? Well, then you can go right away. Whoa, wait a minute. I don't have to yield to that thought. I use the name of Jesus against that thought. And I cast that down. That's not from God. And that helps us in our daily life. This is the habit. This is how we have to establish a habit in our thinking. Because if we don't, thoughts can cause us to just, you know, as they say, get in a ditch or a rut, just like a car tire, and just sit there and spin with our thinking and be agitated about a thought and get ourselves so worked up that we're having anxiety over something. And so we need to say, well, wait a minute, this is not giving me peace at all. So I'm just going to shut it down. I'm not going to think on it. I can't make it change anyways. So I'm going to let God work in this in my behalf. And this is where we live. Every day, this is where we live. You know? Let me go get me some big piece of something. Right? You've been thinking about it all week. You're sitting in service going, I can smell it. I can see it. I'm going to go get me some. Right? This is what society does. What does society do? You turn on the TV, you listen to the radio, you look at newspaper ads, you look at social media. We constantly looking at this thing here. And so it's doing what? Enticing you to buy it, eat it, wear it, drive it, go there. So that whole marketing thing is to get you to think that you need it. Well, then you need to stop and say, well, wait a minute. I need to be led to do that, not by my feelings or my thoughts. Is God want me to have it? Does God want me to eat it? Does God want me to drive it? Does God want me to own it? Because your thoughts can get you in debt. Big time and in quick. Just because you thought you needed it. See? And so this is the kind of thing that we're talking about, where we need to have our thinking transformed and renewed so that, what does it say? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And what? Lean not. It doesn't mean don't have thoughts. It doesn't mean don't think, because he gave us a brain to think. It just means don't yield and lean to it. If you get thoughts, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to see, okay, is this from God or not? Is he leading me here? Because that's what it says here in Romans chapter 8. It says, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So does this thought that I'm having, does it give me peace? Does it build me up, or is it causing me to be agitated? Is it causing me to fear? Is it causing me to have some thoughts against the word of God? Well, you know what to do with it. Don't think on it. Throw it out. You know, and this is why, you know, when you start, even when I think about some of the things that, you know, God gave me. You know, like most of us have good intelligence. You know, I went to engineering school, but I had to work going through engineering school. So I didn't have the benefit. I had to work myself through college. So at that time, I'm talking years ago, the things afforded to us today. Grants and all of the various things that we can get, they weren't like, am I speaking the truth? Today, you can get things that you couldn't get when I went to college. And so if you wanted to go to college, my parents said to me, it was seven of us, they said, you want to go, you earn your way. Because we can't afford to send you. And so that's what I did. I worked. And so it impacted my grades. I probably could have skated through with an A+. It didn't happen that way for me. But I'll tell you, God gave me the intelligence to remember things and to recall things. And so I was able to go through and do that. But if I had full-time study, I could have gone through. I know I could have. I know it. So what I'm sharing is, when you're going through school and you have the things, trust God. Don't fear tests. Don't fear things that come up. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. But he gave you what? A spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. You begin to say, I thank you, God, I've studied. And I believe you're bringing back to my remembrance things that I've studied. I believe you're showing me what to study and prepare for these tests. I remember when I had tests in engineering school, you know, I remember the professors, they said, look, if you don't know it now, you can bring your books. It doesn't matter. Bring all your books. Open book. Doesn't matter. Because they give us a short time to do some complicated math thing. And I had Laplace transforms. I did. And I had nuclear physics and I had all of that stuff. So it didn't matter. If you didn't have it, by the time you walked into that class, they said, okay, you got an hour and a half to solve this problem. And you're going. And I mean, you're going. And we didn't have calculators. We had slide rules. So we had no calculators. Some don't even, now you got calculators on here. I got calculators on my phone that I can do advanced calculus with. We didn't have that. So you're going. And you had a limited time to do something. But I didn't fear. And that's what I'm saying. Don't fear this pressure that's put on you that's unnecessary. Walk in the anointing of God. Walk in his blessings for you. And I'm not saying don't strive, don't push. I'm not saying that. But don't put unnecessary pressure upon yourself. Don't do that. Because you're going to be conforming to something the world's trying to press. And God, you know, if folks will say, well, if I don't reach this here, I'll never get a job. Baloney. Because God will open up doors just for you. And it'll be the right place and the favor will come. We had a guy here that he wasn't on staff, but he went to MIT. He worked with me in the sound area for a number of years in Nanuet. He and his wife, he wasn't married at the time, but she was part of the ministry, and he went to MIT, and he started working for Mobil, and then he went to another, you know, oil company. But he ended up with Hess, and he said to me, he said, you know, and I knew he's a bright guy. I mean, he's a very bright guy, very low-key, but he became... Doors started opening up to him at Hess, and he worked directly for Mr. Hess before he died. And there were opportunities afforded him. He told me one time, he said, Ed, he said, they're much brighter people than me. And I'm thinking, really? So he said, they're much brighter people than me. He said, sometimes I don't understand how I got. He's a senior VP at Hess. You can go look his name up right on the internet. He's right up to the top. African-American, so when you start looking at, even in society, some of the things that are afforded, even people of color, I'm telling you, it's real and true, I don't deny that, but God is his God. And he sowed, that's why I say, God is not mocked whatsoever. A man soweth, whatever he sows, he will reap. It ain't coming sometimes the way you think. He sowed hundreds of hours at choir rehearsals coming, chasing up from New York City, chasing up from his job, sitting on his BlackBerry, doing contracts and things, sowing his time with the choir. And doors opened up to him that no man could shut, because he sowed into the kingdom of God. And that's what I mean. He was a bright guy, but he said, there are things that God opened up for me. He said, sometimes I sit in amazement. And that's what I'm talking about. When people want to be blessed, sow into the kingdom of God, not just your money, your time. And you will reap in ways you couldn't even imagine. I'm telling you from experience. I'm telling you, me personally have been blessed, but also people that I've known and observed their lives, how they've sown their time and their efforts into the kingdom of God to support this ministry, and their lives are supernaturally blessed. Their families are. So, this transforming of our minds is key to us being blessed. in the things of God. So, as I said, we can't see a thought, but we can see the results. And we were sharing that the thoughts, when you think about when the scripture, it talks about God's thoughts. What did he do? He had thoughts, and God spoke those thoughts, light be. And so what we touch with our, this is what we were talking about last week in this mind-spirit connection. What our minds touch opens our heart up to. And we need to be conscious of that. We need to be aware of that. That the what people, you know, we don't think in words. You know, when you pen something, write something, or you do something, you had some intentions, something from your heart. You say, I'm writing this song. What are you doing? You're penning down the thoughts of your heart, whether they're good or bad. And so that's why I say when we listen to music, it's not so much the style of the music, it's what were the intentions of the heart that put those words down and they're singing. And the same with movies we watch, and not just the music, but the books we read and things like that. That's why I say on college campuses today in schools, they're after the thoughts of the children to change their thinking to not be after God. That's why you have these movies out, God's Not Dead, God's Not Get Dead Too, because they're going after people to say, ain't no God. There's no God. And if you get students that will buy into that, then you begin to change. But guess what? God is not mocked. He is not mocked. He's not ridiculed. And so I'm just saying be conscious of what you are listening to, watching, reading. Think about it. Be aware of that. So let's turn over here for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just for a few minutes, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Says, but the natural man, or you could say what we read in Romans, the carnal man, you could say the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So in other words, they're not even open to it. It says, for they are foolishness unto him. So what happened? They heard something, a thought came to their mind, and they said, that's foolishness. So they don't receive it. He said, but it says, neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So you can see, even in the chapter before, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is what? The power of God. Turn to I just want to look at this scripture here quickly. Psalm 50. Psalm 50 and verse 21. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 21. If God is not mocked. In verse 21. Now we know this verse 23 is a familiar scripture. It says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. But back up to verse 21, it says, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence." This is God speaking here now. "I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thy eyes." So a lot of times people think, "Hey, I'm doing all these things. God ain't, he ain't around. He ain't doing nothing." He keeps silent sometimes. But he will, there'll be a payday, as they say. And we need to be careful in our thinking. That's what I'm talking about, that just because you do something, say something, act out a certain way, doesn't necessarily mean God didn't notice. He's noticing. And if we're open, he'll direct us and lead us. But even in chapter 1 of Romans, it said because they, when they should have had God in their mind, they didn't. And they didn't want God in their minds and thinking. And it says he turned them over to a reprobate mind. So we don't want to have a situation where we just go through life with not having God in our thinking or our minds. So turn over to 2 Corinthians. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, not 1st. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse 12. I'm going to read a few of these verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "Seeing then," I'm reading from the King James, "seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face." See, he's talking about what happened. Why did he put a veil over his face? Because he went up onto the mount. The Lord called him up, and he was in the presence of the Lord, and his face glowed. So he put a veil on his face. It said that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were what? Blinded. This is talking about the minds. Were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away where? In Christ. So here, this is saying that when we look into the Word of God, for those that are in Christ, there is no veil. There is nothing hidden to us. We've been given the Spirit of God, which will reveal the Word of God to us. This is talking about the Israelites, and even the Jews to this day. It says, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is what? Upon their heart. Nevertheless, it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be what? Taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with what? Open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are what? Changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So that when we look into the Word of God, the entrance of His Word does what? It brings light. Well, when that Word and the entrance of His Word, we are changed. Why? We're touching something spiritual. We're touching something that's divine. And so when we touch it, when we look at it, when we let it come into our hearts, what does it do? It begins to change us. This says here, what? From glory to glory. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. So the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, begins to do what? Change us from glory to glory. This is how this happens. And so don't feel like, well, I didn't get anything out of that message. If you look at it and you meditate on it, you're being changed. Little by little, little by little, little by little. I've seen down in Nanuet, there's this one person I'm thinking, I won't say her name, but I'm thinking of this one person. Boy, I'm telling you, whoo! Yes, Lord. A hard nut. A hard, street hard. Real street hard. And I believe some of that hardness was because she'd been hurt so much, and life and its circumstances had made someone hard, but loves the Lord. But I'm telling you, this person keeps coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming, and it's been coming for a number of years, and little by little, little by little, little by little, I'm not talking about overnight, little by little, the hardness is softening. You know, you still get the suck teeth and you still get, you know, like, you get all of this. I'm not moved by that. I step back and look and I remember how she came and how she's changing. Little by little, little by little, little by little. If it takes a lifetime, little by little, and that's what I'm talking about. You let the word of God in. And it will change your thinking from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We didn't get from one end to the other. We, you know, it takes time. It takes time. So this change, I'll just say this. Does it become, I wrote this down, does it matter what we look at and behold? Here's a statement. You become what you behold. Amen. You become what you behold. So it matters what we look upon and what we feast upon. You become what you behold. You could say the same thing. You become what you watch. You become what you read. You become what you listen to. You become what you behold. And so we need to think about that, and that's the same thing. Children, young adults, going back to school, whatever level you are, don't be so absorbed with your intelligence and the intellectual side that you forget God. Because you will become what you behold. And you can become so intellectual that you intellectually begin to rule out God, and this is so, it's just now it's all science. Yeah, it is science. Who made science? Amen. God did. And so you need to remember that God is not mocked, but always remember you can study, pursue your academia, pursue it, but pursue it with a mind that I'm doing this and God's in the middle helping me do this. And don't, you know, pursue without him with you. Amen. So, again, as I'm saying, when you head back or you're already in school, don't let the pressures of school and the pressures of people around you, the pressures of teachers and all of that, don't let that become so, you know, strong in your life and your thinking that you don't think that you can succeed or you don't think that you can make it or be successful. Let God in. Let him lead and let him direct. And as I said before, if there's any circumstance in your life, know that, you know, you have family members, you have teachers, you have principals, you have a pastor here that will listen. Now, I will say this. You know, it used to be, I know in New York State, I don't know if it's federal now, but You know, we used to have a school in New York. At that time, you were federally mandated to report, and I think you still are, as a school, as a teacher, as a nurse, as a clinician, or whatever you are, you are a mandated reporter. You have to report things that you see or observe or something that might be wrong. Now, as a church, we are not obligated, but morally, I tell you, if I see something going on, I'm going to ask, I'm going to question, I'm going to intervene as best I can on the behalf of someone. Even though we may not be required to, but morally, you need to. You need to get involved. And so don't be so busy that you don't see changes in your children and changes in habits and behaviors, and be observant and be an advocate for your children. Let them know that it's safe to talk with you and safe to share. Maybe this doesn't apply to anyone here, but you may know someone. You may know a friend that may be uncomfortable or doesn't feel like they can talk to somebody. Because with all of the stuff going on in society, people bully one another, all the stuff that goes on with this. And people say things and do things in this and make and isolate. Always remember, think about when anybody watches nature channels, what do predators do? They prey, and they prey on the weak. But what do mainly predators do? They'll work as a group. You see lions, they work as a pride. They begin to isolate something they want to take down. But what do they also do? They begin to isolate one animal off away from the protection of the herd where they feel alone and isolated, and they take them down. If you ever feel isolated like no one could ever, you speak up. You speak up. Because always remember, the devil is defeated. And he has come, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. But the devil has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. So if it's something in your life that's destroying your peace, destroying something, it's not from God. And it needs to be addressed and confronted. Period. I remember, well, I'll say it off tape, but I'm finished. And so we'll pray and I'll conclude with that. I remember when Eddie James was with us the last time here, we would take them back and forth to the hotel, and we had put them up in some hotel rooms across the street at the Holiday Inn or the Hampton Inn. And I took a few over, a couple of the boys, the singers, and dropped them off. They got out and they were just sharing the gospel with some people out front. And the next day, and most all of them have come off the street, meaning they were either in drug addiction, they were cutting themselves, they were, you know, drug users, whatever they were on the street or homeless. And so they've gone through his program, and now they're, you know, out touring with him and doing things. So they've been changed. Still working through change with some of them. But Eddie was telling us that when they went back to the hotel room, he was going to hold a Bible study with them, which he normally does after they have a service. And he said they were all up on the second or third floor of the hotel, and they're walking down the hallway, and this girl came out of one of the rooms, young, 13 or 14 years old, drunk, totally wasted. And some of the girls intervened. And so they go and they found out what room she's in. They open the door and there's a bunch of guys in the room, young. They find out the parents had booked the room. And so Eddie's a big guy. Eddie's about 6'2", 6'3", 6'2", and he's big. And he stood right in the doorway with these young boys, and he said, and they said, "You're making us uncomfortable." He said, "I ain't moving until you call your parents." And he didn't. And that's what I mean. And they intervened where that young girl was concerned. Because he said, who knows what would have happened where that girl was concerned. So that's what I mean. Don't ever be afraid to stand up for what's right. Don't ever be able, don't be afraid to speak up for what's right or the truth. And so, just because somebody's going through something, you need to speak up and advocate. Because kids are going through things, and you don't realize it. And sometimes they don't have a listening ear at home, or they may not even have a good home life. And so they're out alone, so to speak. So, praise God.